Welcome to Amplify Your Process Safety, the podcast that provides the experience and expertise you need when it comes to process safety and risk management. Our hands-on approach will give you the insight needed, whether you're new to industry or process safety, in a role where you interact with aspects of process safety, or an experienced process safety professional. Join your hosts, Wesley Carter and Rob Bartlett, in their mission to protect people, the companies they work for, and the communities where they operate by making process safety knowledge available to all.
Good morning.
Morning, Wes. How are you?
Good.
Ready to talk today?
I think so.
What's our topic for today's podcast?
Government inspections.
Government inspections.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think we should be talking about that now?
Because sometimes you've never been through one and a regulator shows up, a regulator from, OSHA, maybe they're there to do a, I don't know what you call it, an occupational safety general industry audit, or they show up to audit your PSM program.
Yeah.
There's also the EPA. Maybe they show up to audit your RMP plan.
Or RCRA.
RCRA, any of those types.
There's any other programs?
Yeah. Why do we have inspectors?
Why do we have inspectors?
Oh, I'm looking at you.
You're looking at me?
Yeah.
So really, enforcement offices within the various agencies, their goal is to basically make sure that people are following the rules and regulations.
I thought they were out to get you.
No. Are you sure? They're there. Well, based on my experience, they are really there to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. And I've been, we've talked about this. I've been through multiple, I'll call it inspections, whether it's EPA, RMP, and they show up for a day, or they show up with not only state, but also federal EPA, and they're there for 4 days. And I've been through NEP inspections.
What's NEP?
I don't know. National Emphasis Program. What? And they created this because there were, I think this was Texas City.
I think that was the first one. Yeah, there have been many NEPs that have come along.
But I think they developed the program because of Texas City, if I remember right.
I think you're right.
So NEP inspections, I've also been part of CSB investigations.
CSB is a chemical safety board.
Yep, and this is kind of what got us on the topic or the idea of talking about this today.
Right.
What's recently happened?
So we recently had the event in Philadelphia at the former Sunoco facility.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a pretty big event, and it got lots of attention. There were people with...
Lots of attention. It was a huge fireball in the sky.
There was Twitter videos, YouTube.
We shouldn't laugh, because it was pretty scary.
Yeah, and but the CSB was deployed for that event.
Yes.
And what was amazing about that event is no one was injured, right?
They were lucky.
Very lucky, for the size of what the event that happened, that was... I don't know what's going to come out of their investigation, but kudos to them for their emergency procedures, because no one was injured during that event.
Yeah. Okay. So CSB showing up there. So we're like, hey, let's do a podcast that talks about regulators showing up.
Yeah. If you've never been through one and they show up, what can you expect?
Okay. So let's get into it then. So I'm the safety manager at my facility. Knock on the door. Hey, I'm from OSHA. I'm here to help. Actually, yeah. No, probably what they say is I'm here to inspect you.
Okay. I'm here for an inspection.
Now what?
Okay, so you can ask for their credentials. I'm not saying that I've never been, around like a news reporter trying to fake, but you can ask them for their credentials. They're required to show you, I am, a government employee. I'm here from OSHA. I'm here from EPA. You can ask them why they're there. I've had someone show up to do an NEP inspection for a PSM facility. And I ask them for their credentials, ask them why they're there. And they say, well, you're a RMP level 3, and I pulled you at random from the EPA database. Sometimes they come from an employee complaint. And that can get kind of sticky, because some people, let's say you let go of someone for performance, and they're like, okay, well, I'm going to put a random, I'm going to report you to OSHA, even whether or not my complaints are valid. But they can show up for that as well.
That happens?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. But you can ask them why they're there.
Right.
Credentials, why they're there.
And they're expecting this.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Every single one I've been through, I've been through multiple, mm-hmm. but every single one, they're ready for it.
Yep.
Like they almost have like their hand in their pocket, like waiting for you to ask to like pull out their credentials. You can ask them to wait. You call management. I was at a facility that was kind of I don't know. I was outside Houston. I live in Texas. I was outside Houston about an hour and a half. I had a regulator show up to do an EP inspection. And I asked him to sit tight. And I called my management that was in Houston, again, an hour and a half away. And they wanted to send one of our directors. And they also wanted to send a lawyer to be present, you know, for it. And that's something they're used to as well. If you call a lawyer, it's not that you're sitting there lawyering up to defend yourself. You just want to make sure that as you go through this process, you're documenting the right things. And you never know what can come out of these inspections.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so it's always good to have that. And they expect that as well.
Right.
So you can go put them in a meeting room, get them some coffee, whatever. I'm not telling you to have them wait for a day, right? But they expect that, you know, an hour, 2 hour wait, it's not unheard of for them.
So, I mean, some people might say, well, doesn't that give you as the site time to, okay, everybody go make sure everything's perfect?
No. If you're not, I don't know what you can fix in 2 hours, you know? Yeah.
Quick, go label all of the piping.
Yeah, go fix, you didn't do your metal thickness survey since 1960.
5 years ago, you didn't do it. Go fix it. Yeah.
Go fix it. Yeah.
Okay. So an EPA is not like suspicious. They're not saying, or OSHA, whoever. The inspector is not suspicious.
This is completely normal today. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got inspectors in the conference room. Our lawyer shows up. Our senior management shows up.
Sure.
We're ready to go. Now what?
You have I'll call it a kickoff meeting.
Okay.
You know, it's a kickoff meeting no one signed up for. Sometimes these inspections are announced. Sometimes they're unannounced. Right. But regardless, you should have a kickoff meeting with the right people in the room. And what you really, you know, if you've got a larger facility that's got multiple units, typically that regulator will fix on one unit, and that'll be the scope of the audit. They'll do a facility walkthrough. Things like that, or they'll say, this is really what we're honing in on, or we're only here to look at one piece of information. Like if it's EPA, they say, we want to look at your R&P and the vessels or the chemicals that are listed in your R&P. And so they'll freeze on that scope. But a kickoff meeting, you set the tone. How many people do you want to interview this week? Do you want us to have lunch brought in? How long are you going to be here? You're just trying to make...
Get some of those logistics.
Absolutely, absolutely. Make things as comfortable as it can be. It's good audit attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get it set up, set yourself up for success. Whether or not you've got deficiencies, gaps they're going to find, make sure that you've set this, you know, all the logistics in place to have a successful, as successful as you can have inspection.
Okay, so you said a term there that I want to dig into a little bit. Audit attitude. So... It's probably normal. Somebody shows up at your door to say, "Hey, I'm going to come in and I'm going to either make sure you're doing the right thing or I'm going to find something wrong."
Yep.
The normal attitude from that is to get defensive and
sure.
and nervous and probably that doesn't get you off to the best start. So when you say audit attitude, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's like, what's the term? I may screw this up. You catch a lot more bees with honey. How do you say it?
I think that's it. You catch a lot more bees with honey than with vinegar.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, they're going to dig into your stuff. And sometimes, especially if you've been working on something or it's something you own and you think it's, you know, it's awesome and they're challenging you, yeah, it's natural to get defensive. I'm notorious for, and I will say that I think I keep myself in check, but there are some things that they go down the road where I know that we're meeting the intent and the regulation, or at least I'm fairly confident based on my experience. And they're chewing on one word in one document as how we're not following the requirement of the law. That can be frustrating. So the thing you try and step back and say, okay, if I can remove myself from this being defensive and frustrated, and I can just really understand what is their concern. And if it's one word in a document and you can fix it there, say, okay, if I change this one word, does that make you feel more comfortable that we're following? And if it's as simple as that, even if you think it's petty or they're being I don't really know what the word I'm looking for, but anyways, they're scrutinizing something you don't think they should be scrutinizing. If you can fix it, right? And that's sometimes hard.
So what I'm hearing is don't get defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to be defensive, which is hard to do, especially if you own it, especially if it's something that could have high consequences.
Exactly.
But also pick your battles.
Pick your battles.
Is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
I also throw another one in there, which is, pick when to fight your battles. When the inspector is there is not always the best time to fight the battle. If you, if there's a question and you answer it and you think you're complying and the inspector very obviously is thinking you're not complying, it may not be the right time to actually have it out with the inspector right there.
And that's a good, you bring
write it down.
Yeah.
You deal with it later. You let the lawyers deal with it. whatever.
Your job then, if you feel like this is one where, okay, we're not going to see eye to eye, no matter how, frustration aside, trying to understand where they're at. That's when you really want to understand what's their issue is. Make sure you document that, because that's what you really, when they leave or they're gone and you sit down with your legal team or more people in your organization and y'all can really put a team together to look at it, you really want to understand what their issue was. And if you kind of have the conversation, you don't document it, you don't write it down, you don't really, it's really hard to then go back and challenge it down the road.
Yeah, and I've been in meetings with EPA after audits, and there have been discussions. Well, this is the inspector says, this is what I saw, and the facility is saying, that is not what was there. That's not what we saw.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but the time to deal with that is not necessarily while the inspector's there. As you say, note it, get as much detail as you can about it, but then move on, because you don't want to get into any sort of argument head to head with the inspector. It's not going to go well for you.
Yes.
It's only going to make things more difficult the rest of the experience here. So, okay. So we're going around and
they're going to do a walkthrough. OSHA always does a walkthrough.
Yeah.
EPA will sometimes do a walkthrough. At least my experience, you know, so I would expect a walkthrough.
Okay. So they're doing a walkthrough, but part of a walkthrough is, hey, let me see the site, get a feel for it. Okay. What else are these guys looking for? What if my ladder inspections aren't up to date, or what if my, you know, what if,
yeah, so they will, I would say sometimes, I mean, that's what it's OSHA, right? So OSHA, even if they say they're there for a PSM inspection, they will look at things like that, I would say are not, they do not prevent the release of highly hazardous chemicals.
Right.
You know, they'll look at
other things.
They'll stop at looking at eyewash stations.
Yep.
Hey, you don't have a swing gate at the top of a fixed ladder going on top of a vessel.
You're not doing your fire extinguisher.
Exactly. That's typical. You can expect that. Sometimes you see it and you're like, well, I thought we were here for PSM inspection.
Yep.
That's their OSHA. They're charged with. They're on site. They're looking at that. They'll take a look.
And in my experience, if it's obvious, they probably are going to say something. They may or may not cite you. They'll probably say something. But there also are times where they've got blinders on. Those guys are just, they're here to look at that PSM process only. And they're like, nope, I don't see anything else.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the inspector. It depends on what their goals are and you know, kind of how much time they want to spend on other things.
Sometimes they want to have a photo shoot.
Meaning?
They have a camera.
Yeah.
And they want to take a lot of pictures.
Absolutely.
If they take a picture.
Yeah, there we go.
You take a picture.
Okay.
Yeah, not selfies, right? I'm talking about they take a picture of they come up
There's
to a valve.
Wesley and the inspector.
They're like, hey, that looks you know, that gate valve, that big gate valve you have right there looks like it normally is car sealed, and that car seal's broken. And you take a look at it, and you're like, oh, well. And they ask you, why is that broke? And you're like, I'm not sure. And they take a picture of it. You get a picture of that as well.
Right.
Because the thing is, I've had this happen before, and when we wanted to show closure, because it was simple to close, we actually took a picture of the same valve from the same angle with the car still repaired.
Right.
Right. So it's...
But then it also helps with any discrepancies between your take of what the situation is versus what they're saying that they see.
Yep.
Because that's going to happen. I mean, I was involved with an inspection recently. I swear he took over 1,000 pictures.
Oh.
Over the course of 2 days. Like...
Oh, wow.
1,000... Like... Unbelievable. So
that's, was he there to inspect?
You should be. Well, it was. I think it may have been a sightseeing tour as well.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. But the point is that if they take a picture,
you take a picture.
It's just like, you know, it's standard procedure. If they take a sample of something, you take a split sample of it.
So. And that leads into they're going to also ask for some stuff from your facility documents. They can ask for multiple documents. You know, sometimes they'll ask for, you know, they ask for maybe a copy of an operating procedure. So you slide them the copy of the operating procedure. At that time, you want to start a log. What did we give the inspector? You know, she could be looking through it and all of a sudden she says, hey, out of all these, you know, 12 documents you gave me, can you give me a copy of document 3, document 5, and document 7 they're going to take with them? So you keep a record of that, but still just keep a record of anything you slide and they get their eyes on. Right. And then make sure you keep a record of things that they take with them.
Absolutely. What about copies? So if I give them, especially records, but if I give them a copy, if I give them a copy of a document, certainly, I mean, I can't imagine I give them an original. So I give them a copy of a document. I should probably make a copy so that I can say this is exactly what I gave them.
Absolutely.
Don't and then put that original back in the file wherever it came from. Yep. But actually have, I mean, in my mind, I've got a file somewhere where for this visit, here's everything we showed them.
Yeah, sometimes we do Bates numbering. Like yep. We actually give a specific, you know, or we call it document. We give it an official name.
Right.
And they may ask for documentation while they're there. And I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but when they leave,
they're probably going to ask for a lot more.
Yeah. They call them document requests. They're Absolutely. Official. They got, you know, government letterhead on them and they say, this is document request 1, 2. I've been in NEP inspection where document request 1 was 47 documents. Document request 2 was almost 100. And then they had document request 3.
Yeah.
It's typical.
Right. So, okay. So we've, let's talk about interviews.
Interviews.
So they're going to come in. They're going to say, okay.
I thought you meant the Tonight Show.
I was thinking of actually
on our topic.
No, Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh,
not,
Jimmy Kimmel.
I mean, not Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel.
Fallon.
Anyway, I don't watch those guys much. So the fact is that they're going to be coming in. They're going to be looking at the facility. They're going to be looking at documentation. They're going to be looking at the actual physical facilities, taking pictures. They're also going to want to talk to people.
Absolutely.
So what can we do, or what would the expectation be, and then what can we do to kind of make that as painless as possible.
And I'll paint the picture like this. I'm a 20-year operator, and all of a sudden, you know, everything's been great. You know, my job is to run the plant. I know it like the back of my hand because, you know, I started there. I've worked there. I've worked my way up in the process, senior operator. And all of a sudden, a lawyer comes to me and says, hey, a government inspector is going to sit you down for an interview. Okay. It's okay to say, I don't know. You know, and it's okay to prep your interviewees. You're not telling them to lie. That's not at all what I'm saying. You're prepping them for what this.
Let's be clear. We're not advising anyone to tell their employees to lie.
Not at all. We're advising people, or, you know, from my experience has been, and I remember the first time I was like, oh, this is, we brought a lawyer up to help us with one of our NEP inspections. And the lawyer sat down in the room and was just telling everyone, it was such a good meeting because he said, hey, they're going to ask you for your driver's license number or things like that. He's like, expect that. That's normal. This is a government, you know, employee. They just want to be able to identify who you are. And when they ask you questions, just answer truthfully. If they ask you a question that you know is a deficiency, that's okay. It is what it is. You're not going to fix it. You're not here to lie. You're here to tell the truth. And it's okay sometimes if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know. The biggest thing, don't fabricate anything.
Don't fabricate and don't speculate.
No. So it's good to prep, you know, anyone who's going into the interview. Hey, tell it like it is. You know, that's what we want out of you. And it's okay to say, I don't know.
One of the ways that I prep people for audits like this is there's the silence method where the auditor, the inspector asks a question and the person gives some answer, short answer, and then the inspector just lets the silence hang, hoping that the person will say something else.
Oh, the awkward silence.
Yeah.
I don't like the silence. I'm going to talk.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's where, oh, they maybe I should speculate here, or, you know, just answer the question and stop.
Yeah.
And it's okay if there's silence. So, okay. So we've got people prep for interviews. We've got interviews. So let's wind this up. So,
sure.
So, you know, it's we've hopefully not gotten too defensive. It's been, hey, you know, odds are they're probably going to find something.
Absolutely.
I mean, if they want to find something, they'll find something. What about, so it's the end of the day, you know, maybe this multi-day inspection, end of the day. So closing meetings?
Closing meeting. So it's, you know, that's something you can also establish in the kickoff. How long do you think you're going to be here? Sometimes they tell you, I'm only going to be here for the day, multiple days, like you said. Can we have a debrief every afternoon? If you're going to be there multiple days, that's pretty normal for them. And then it's pretty normal at the back end. So let's just say it's been a 1 day or it's been a 5 day. At the end of those 5 days, it's very normal to have what I would call a teleconference. You have the people who have been involved, on site, and then have people, you know, in upper management that you'd like to call in, or some rep, set up a teleconference. And what you're doing is at a high level, hey, this is, you know, such and such from, you know, this, you know, agency. This is what they found. This is how long they were here. Here's some kind of issues that are sticking up. Any questions, comments? Okay. And then they'll actually walk through the next steps. And it's good to have that the whole room.
The inspector will.
The inspector will.
So now they're creating the common expectation of what the next 3-6 months or more.
Yeah,
are,
and they
are
might final
related to this inspection.
And they'll finalize like, hey, we requested these documents, and they'll be open. They'll say we're going to have more document requests. They'll tell you what their timeline is. Like, hey, I have to have my report back to my area director by this time period. So if there were things that you thought you had and you couldn't find, during this inspection, you have the next 2 weeks to get that document to me, and it might change any issue or concern. They line that out.
And that's a good point. Just because the inspector didn't find the evidence that he asked for, so you couldn't find that document, or you didn't know, you couldn't find the inspection record, he's leaving or she is leaving thinking, we don't have it.
Yeah.
Maybe we do. Maybe we find it. Keep looking for that
stuff. I've had things as simple as, we did our PSV inspections, but we can't find a record on one valve. And we're like, okay, we know they were here. Like, I paid them that, unless they didn't do their job. And then you call them the next week. They're like, oh, it's right here. And they send it to you. And then you provide that back. And you're like, no, see, it was done.
Pressure relief calculations are like that. It's like, oh, I know we've got it here somewhere. We can't find it.
Your engineer's got it in his binder somewhere.
Or you call the engineering company that did your calculations. Like, oh yeah, we got that. Here you go.
Yep.
Well, you probably aren't going to do that as part of the inspection, but you definitely do that as part of the
follow-up. So when they're winding down, they tell you, hey, there's a small period for my draft report. It has to go to my director. But they definitely tell you hard dates.
Yep.
Like after this, it's finalized and the next steps, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think a good closing is what are regulators charged with? At the end of the day, process safety and risk management, RMP, is about protecting employees and the communities where you operate, right? Those areas, the environment.
Yep.
That's what they're there to do. They're really charged with it. And you got to think about that. It's a good thing. They're there to make sure you're following the law, because some people who are good stewards of process safety and risk management, it can be a little frustrating because you think you're doing a good job, but there's sometimes where you're not doing as good a job as you think. And there are operators out there, unfortunately, who don't apply any of this stuff. And that's what, that's what they're charged with, making sure the law is being followed to ultimately protect people.
To protect people. And that's what it comes down to is, and in my mind, you never like being told you're doing things wrong. You never like getting fines. You never like having to deal just the extra, the time sink that these become. And the resource sink that these become, and the fact that suddenly you have this urgent, inspector shows up, there's pretty much nothing that beats the urgency of dealing with that inspection.
You drop everything.
Yeah, you drop everything. So nobody likes that.
Nope.
But at the end of the day, the purpose is to prevent catastrophic incidents like what recently happened in Philadelphia from happening and killing people and affecting communities and, quite frankly, at the end of the day, destroying businesses, because that's actually what happened in Philadelphia, where they're shutting their refinery down. They're shutting that facility down.
Yeah.
So the people that work there don't have a job anymore. The community does not have an employer anymore. So that's why they're there. And I always go into audits as, we've done our best. If you find something, we'll fix it.
Yep.
And that's really what it comes down to. So, all right, I think that's it. I think that gets us through an audit. So
thanks, listeners.
Yeah, thank you, listeners, for continuing to listen to the podcast. If you have any feedback for us, please don't hesitate to reach out. We would appreciate any reviews on iTunes or any other place that you get your podcast fix from. Your process safety medicine. So until next time, this is Rob.
And this is Wesley. Thank you for listening.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Amplify Your Process Safety. Head to our website, amplifyconsultants.com, to find our show notes and other resources. Thank you for joining us in our mission to ultimately save lives by advancing process safety right here on Amplify Your Process Safety. Until next time.